I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Yeah, I think the fact also that you've seen a reduction from 4% to 7% return rates to under 1% on a SKU is very impressive. So it shows that it can be done, right?
It sure can. And these are kind of the forward-thinking sellers that are out there. And I know a lot of your audience wants to be in that same category. Here's a no-brainer. You know, get some automated email campaigns going. Or if you can't afford the automated campaign service yourself, send out the emails on your own. No problem. You know exactly who's ordered each one of your products. Contact them. Find out if there are quality issues that you can work with the supplier on. Potentially there are quality issues there. But if there are not, and it's just an issue where, you know, there was a one-off case, make sure you don't get a refund. It's always in your best interest to ship them a newer free product than get negative feedback or have a refund, which hurt your BSR substantially.
Absolutely. And as you said, it hurts the rankings, which is a very good thing to be aware of. But more than that, of course, it can really hurt your entire account. If you get over 1% negative feedback, then it could be a suspension issue. And of course, that can happen quite quickly in a slow period if you don't have many sales. It only takes one person out of, say, you know, 60 sales or something, that 60 feedbacks, I should say. I mean, you know, because only a certain percentage will leave the feedback. And then suddenly your account's looking at risk. So that's something else that had just occurred to me, that it's actually even more important to get on top of returns than I'd thought. So you haven't got an automated amazing solution yet for getting around the reimbursement side, but you're working on it.
That's right. We'll actually have one probably in the next 2 months. We got a great development. Right.
Well, what we might do is get people to sign up for an email sort of heads up when that turns up, because I think that would be something that I will be first in the queue for that. And I know quite a few people who would be as well. I mean, just anecdotally, a friend of mine is probably owed by Amazon something like the order of $180,000 for refunds and reimbursements that he hasn't yet been paid. So that number, obviously he's doing very, very big numbers in sales, but that number can add up. So I would assume nothing. I would check it, because it could be a lot more money than you think.
That's so right. Yeah. And it's a manual process right now, but it's not terribly hard. And as you said, you'll be first in line, Michael. I know we've got you set up with a free Fetcher trial right now.
Trying it out.
It'll be built right into the tool.
Fantastic. Good. So, I mean, anyone who goes ahead and decides to use Fetcher will get that as and when it turns up automatically anyway, that's worth knowing as well. So yeah, it's certainly one of the things I like about any tool, and Fetcher certainly it fits this bill very nicely, is the removal of a ton of figures which blow your brain, even if you intellectually understand them. After 3 hours in front of a computer with a spreadsheet, your brain no longer makes sense of all these different figures. So the kind of clean layout is very good. Tell us a little bit more about Fetcher then. So obviously you primarily look at the whole profit and loss thing. What actual detailed things do you do without sort of blowing our brains in too much detail? What are the basic things it provides?
The idea here isn't to blow anybody's brains. As I think I was able to do earlier, talk about the three segmented buckets of metrics in like pretty layman's terms. I don't think you need to be an accounting wizard to become a successful Amazon seller. And so Fetcher is really sent up for those people that want to kind of be generalists in the accounting space. You know, you're not going to be like the most elite accounting expert in Amazon and use Fetcher, right? It's kind of built for the average seller who needs an assistant. So basically the reason Fetcher was built in the first place, Michael, is because having now talked to these 500 people that I like to reference, these 500 FBA sellers, I've got a kind of scary statistic for you. 80% is my going number right now. This is ongoing. 80% report not being confident in their profit numbers. So that's a substantial number of Amazon sellers that we're talking to that are reaffirming our thought process that it's just too hard to do this on your own, and they don't have great confidence. Maybe they've given it a run, or maybe they've got a full robust system in place. They're just not fully confident in it. So Fetcher was really born out of the need to make the raw data accessible and easy for the average seller who's busy, you know, who's busy looking for new products. Like, that's where sellers should be focused, spending their time and finding ways to improve their product. And thinking about those kind of things, they shouldn't be worried about like calculating their finances. So the idea behind Fetcher is that we take your raw data, we simplify it, and then we show you the most important metrics. So just with a click of a button, we're going to show you all of your sales information, each one of the subjects that we talked about earlier. We're going to show you all of your expenses, and we're going to show you your profitability by SKU. That includes your pay-per-click data, includes your refunds data, it includes your Amazon fees. You're going to enter in your cost of goods sold, which is pretty easy to do. So it's basically going to simplify all of this mess, all of these colliding numbers, and give you, you know, kind of the 5 to 10 most important metrics that you'll see in a nice, beautiful dashboard that will lead you to make better business decisions. Because that's our goal at Fetcher. Like, we want Amazon sellers to make better decisions for their business. We're in this area. You and I were talking about this just before we went live. We're in this like new era of FBA selling in which it's becoming quite competitive. And there's a number of new players in the game. We see some consolidation, some bigger companies being born around the FBA space. You know, so how does a little guy like me, who's just a one-off salesperson, a one-off FBA seller, how do they really make it big in the FBA space? I think it truly starts with knowing your numbers and setting good targets. And so that's what Fetcher should help people do much more easily than they'd be able to do on their own.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I have to say, every time I use a tool which makes my life more complicated, I get really angry, because I always think, look, you guys, whoever created this is not thinking about who it's for. It's for an amateur. I'm an amateur in email marketing, although I'm getting more professional, but I'm not a professional in how to set up the software. I'm an amateur accountant. I'm an amateur everything else. What I try and be is a professional entrepreneur. In other words, as you say, my job is to drive my business forward, and I need everything around that to serve that aim. And I really love that way of thinking. So talking of then, you said it's sort of 5 or so really key metrics. What are those exact numbers? So obviously you've talked in general before about what the buckets are that you measure. What are the metrics that Fetcher will make clear and simple for me to find?
It is actually those exact same metrics that I was just referring to a second ago. So, I mean, even though it seems kind of oversimple, you're going to get your sales and your costs and your profits. But the way Fetcher does that is we're going to integrate your account with your with Amazon's API, their backend, their application program interface. We're going to connect it to Fetcher, and then we're going to run all of these complicated calculations for you. So the very first thing that happens when you sign up and you give Fetcher access to your information in a safe and totally secure way, we'll be able to go out and get all the data that's already in Amazon. Sales end, you know, it'd be fun to kind of show you guys maybe a snapshot, a dashboard or something like that in an email afterwards. But I could show you guys kind of how sales gets packaged, how units sold gets packaged, how costs get packaged, and then how your margins get packaged, and how you can see that over time in nice dashboards. But those are the primary metrics that we're talking about, Michael. No brain science here, nothing totally crazy.
Good. Well, that's a relief to know. Now, we've come back in a way to an obvious starting point, in a way. So the starting point for any business should be setting targets that are meaningful and then trying to reach them and finding structures and strategies to reach them. But in a way, if you don't know what the hell is going on in your businesses, I often have not at various periods. I've made huge efforts. And as you say, the spreadsheets, you know, make your eyes bleed. And so we're all looking for these simplified tools, and hopefully Fetcher can be that one for me and maybe for many other people. But once we've got that solid data and we can trust the numbers, what should we be trying to measure, and how would you go about setting targets for yourself as an Amazon seller, and would you recommend for other Amazon sellers?
Question, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I actually believe that for each one of these metrics, it's totally reasonable to set targets. So some people might think that's a little crazy. Like, really? I mean, I know we might want to set some sales targets, but are we really going to set FBA fees targets? I think the answer is yes. So the way I would get started is once you've really got a good foundation of understanding where your business is and where it's been. So it's really important to have historical data. It's not enough to just calculate how you're performing today. You know, I'd probably go into Fetcher and look at the P&L page. We actually have a profit and loss page. And I'd take the data all the way back to, you know, maybe January 1st of 2016. So let's look at least 1 year's worth of data, and let's see how we've performed. Okay, so how are sales trending? If there's not an upward trend in sales, what can we do to fix that? So if there's not already an upward trend in sales, it's probably not enough to just set a target and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to increase my sales by 5%. Okay, that sounds nice, but I'd prefer more quantifiable, like measurable goals that are going to get you to that 5% sales. So I would actually focus on the costs. One of the very first areas I'd focus on setting metrics would be in recurring fees. We touched on this just a bit earlier. But with recurring fees, it's very much about inventory management. So are you paying long-term storage fees? So after 6 months of storing a product in Amazon, they're going to hit you with a long-term inventory storage fee. I'd say you should never be paying that fee. You know, you've got to get control of inventory to the point where you're never paying that, where you have enough inventory turns. So it probably starts with managing your recurring fees and setting targets there along with your inventory. So if I know exactly how much, we have a little inventory tracker in Fetcher. If I know exactly how much inventory I have for a SKU, and I know when I'm how much I'm selling, I know exactly when it's projected to burn down. I want to make sure that's always within 6 months, and that's a metric right there. So I have those numbers that I track for my own personal business. Okay, I need to be able to sell this many per day to burn down the inventory before the inventory storage fees come, which will keep my storage fees under $400 a month. And that's one of my goals, for example, $400 a month. But it's pretty it's a substantially challenging work to set good metrics on the front end. But those are areas I would start: recurring fees and inventory.
That's very interesting that I hear somebody talking about goals that aren't just sales goals, because pretty much every entrepreneur you meet sets, quotes, sales goals in the sense of, I'm going to do $100,000 a month or 500 or whatever sounds like a big number to them, with no strategy to achieve it. And I've done this myself, right? I mean, we all right. do it. But very, very interesting that you're setting goals for expenses, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, because I guess everyone thinks, well, I want my expenses as low as possible, but if they happen, I have to accept them grudgingly. And you're saying you need to be setting a goal, for example, just to eliminate long-term storage fees, which is great because it makes sense. I mean, then it ties in with inventory management. In fact, we had Jeremy from Forecastly on recently, very All sophisticated right. tool for inventory yes. management. Might it's be a bit of a top for some of us. So if you've only got a few SKUs, maybe the tool with Infection might well do the job. But either way, you're making that aim. I mean, whether or not you can achieve right. it with the software is a different thing, right? But I That's really right. like that.
I tend to think that it's more manageable to set targets in the areas that you can control. It's really hard to control sales. You know, I think it's still very much a good idea to have long-term goals for your sales, but get control stuff you can handle yourself. Like, you could fix refunds over the course of the next 3 months by getting automated email campaigns set up and by communicating with customers and ensuring that they don't send refunds. So there's a refund goal right there. I want to move from 3% to 1% in the next 3 months. Like, I think that's probably doable for most Amazon sellers, depending on their product. You know, if it's a complicated product with higher return rates, might be a bit different. But for most, I'd say that's a target right there. By setting a goal like, I'm going to sell $5,000 more product this month, sounds nice, but what are your margins at the end of the day? Which is one of the reasons I'm a bit counterintuitive in that sense, and I like to focus on my costs and reducing costs. Because I think sales will come if we're following all those best known metrics that everybody talks about in the Amazon space.
Yeah, and I think it's very tempting to do the sales targets thing only because A, Amazon encourages that. And of course they do, because they make cash every time you make a sale, even if it's not making much profit, because they get their commission from it. B, they make it easy to see. And C, it makes you feel good about yourself, doesn't it? If it's like, I've done 10,000, I've done 100,000, whatever the number is for you, a million, whatever it is that you need to feel good. But you're quite right in that actually setting a goal which you have more control over makes a lot of sense. And pretty much you can always avoid long-term storage fees, I guess, if you're really smart. And at the very least, I mean, I've got some really duff inventory at the moment that it's not just one or two problems. It's just I keep getting, you know, refunds and people telling me it's duff. So just basically it's a bad batch or a bad product. And I'm right. just need to can it. I just need to go to Amazon and say, right, dispose of this. I don't want anybody having this. And that's all under my control. Whereas whether somebody chooses to buy 10 or 100 of my products tomorrow is not really under my control. So
it's quite hard. And that's where pay-per-click comes in. And obviously setting good pay-per-click measurements. There's varying schools of thought on what your average cost of sales should be in your pay-per-click campaigns. But outside of, you know, giving product away to boost your BSR, and spiking your pay-per-click spending, it's harder to influence sales. It's much easier to influence what you're spending, which both will ultimately influence what you're taking home at the end of the day, which is what I care about. How much money is in my bank account, not how many sales I did.
Absolutely. I mean, people forget that the one of the, you know, the ways to increase profit, there's only two ways, is increase sales and decrease costs. And actually, once you've got hard inventory to base businesses, unlike if you're used to selling your time as an employee or a freelancer, your actual cost of goods sold is very little, in the sense that, you know, you don't charge yourself out. You don't count yourself as a cost. You probably should in some ways, but, right. you know, so we're not used to that if you come from any kind of employment background. And suddenly the idea that if you sell some $100,000 worth of stuff and it cost is $90,000, you can double your profits by just decreasing your costs by $10,000. And that's not
right.
A way of thinking that we have, if we've dealt with, as I have, consulting and coaching and whatever over the decades, or being an employee, that's a real mindset shift, isn't it? And I think
right,
really,
right. And that's what I'm trying to clue in here on and share with people that I see about the best performing Amazon sellers, because they do that stuff well. And those of us who want to get to that level need to start thinking that way.
Yeah, I really like it. That's very, very good. And I don't think I've heard anyone else on my podcasts ever say anything like that. So that's a fantastic way of thinking. Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited, because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.